Chapter 2 tonight. We'll be turning over to Romans chapter 2. And while you're turning, just wonder if anybody has maybe testimony or thanksgiving on your heart and you want to testify tonight before we get into Romans chapter 2 tonight. We're in Romans chapter 2. And what we're going to do, we're going to kind of just pick up right where we left off tonight. And pick up right where we left off this morning and kind of look at a few other little things tonight out of this passage, been going through the book of Romans. I want to kind of keep it maybe a little short tonight. I know we got afterwards and all, and so we're going to be going and having a good time of fellowship. And I'm for fellowship, by the way, aren't you? I thank God for it. It's a blessing. And I think God's pleased with it as long as it's done right. Amen. As long as we're together. This, you know, the early church, they got together. They went from house to house and breaking bread and eating meat together and fellowshiping. But it was always surrounding the Word of God and the things of God. And I'm glad we can come together and do things like this around the things of God, aren't you? And I thank the Lord for it. So look with me in Romans chapter 1. I do want to give you this, though. I've got this on my heart, and it has been, obviously it's on my heart this morning and then tonight as well. And so I'd kind of prayed about maybe going a different direction with the fellowship and all. But I believe this is what the Lord just wants us to stay the course tonight. And so this is what we're going to look at least for a few minutes. So look with me in Romans chapter 2, and I'll not ask you to stand, but we'll go back and read through a few verses of Scripture this morning. We'll start in verse number 17, where we started this morning, and just pick up right where we left off. So look in Romans 2, verse 17. He says, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Thou art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind and a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking of the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, and thank you, Lord, for this time, and Lord, for the opportunity to be able to fellowship together tonight, and Lord, to be together on the Lord's day. And I thank you, Lord, for this time of worship, and Lord, I thank you for all that you've done so far. Lord, it's been a good day in your house. Thank you for the good Sunday school this morning and the good worship hour. And Lord, I thank you for what's been done tonight already. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless us and help us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to look into the things of God, and you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Of sinners, people who are without God, those that are that don't have Christ, and we've got the reprobate there in end of chapter one would be the first category, and then there's the righteous, or really the self-righteous, who would look down at the reprobate, and then begin talking and looking this morning at the religious, and that's really who God is writing to, or the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to, was to these Jews, these religious Jews, who had all their pride and had all their hope really wrapped up in their religion, not in Christ. And they looked down at the self-righteous, looked down at the reprobate, because they were so religious, because in their eyes they were so special and are so special. And Of course, we center of all. And I think I mentioned this morning that from the outside looking in, it would kind of be the opposite, that the progression as far as the categories of sinner, starting with the reprobate, then the self-righteous, then the religious. From the outside looking in, it seems like they're getting better and better, because they're getting more and more dressed up, and they're getting more and more, as far as the outside eye is concerned, they seem to be getting cleaned up. But really, on the inside, from the spiritual perspective, they're actually getting worse and worse. They're getting farther and farther and deeper and deeper and more. Not see that they have a need. And so many people have all their needs, all their hopes, and everything wrapped up in their religion and in their pride and their self-will. But because they have, you know, they dabble in religion, they're okay. They're fine. They're better than those other sinners out there. And that is their opinion. That certainly was the opinion of the Jews. And one thing involved in their religion was great privilege, and that's what we talked about this morning. And we would certainly say that we are greatly privileged people, wouldn't you say that? God has blessed us and involved the Word of God, and God's given us the Word of God. It involved the will of God. They were able to know His will, and because they've had His Word, they were able to know His will. Because we've got His Word, we're able to know His will. And that's privilege. That's a blessing. That is God privileging us. And then it involved wisdom, that because they have His Word, they're able to know His will, and therefore they have wisdom. They've been taught from the Word of God what is excellent, what is more excellent, and what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil. Again, that in itself is a privilege. That is an honor. And it's a blessing from the Lord. If the Lord had not given us those things, we wouldn't have them. And by the way, if the Lord ever takes them away, you won't have them either. I mean, the wisdom of knowing right and wrong and good and evil, that is the mercy and grace of God. And that can go away for the lost person. That conscience can get seared as with a hot iron. And we saw in Romans chapter 1 that the man can be turned over to a reprobate mind and get to the point where there's no conscience regarding evil anymore. No moral conscience. And so, no moral compass is what I meant to say. And so it involved the Word of God, the will of God, wisdom. All things are tremendous privilege. But it was those privileges that they should have taken and should have been humble before God, should have blessed God and thanked the Lord and humbled themselves before God because of all their great privileges. Instead, they used it to love themselves. And heap up goods and heap up authority and power and position and notoriety for themselves rather than directing that praise towards God in their heart. And so that deals with the privilege of their religion. But tonight, I want to look at the pride in their religion. Because all these things, again, the blessings became really a spiritual burden to them. They should have been praising the Lord. Instead, they began to praise themselves, began to pride themselves in their religion, pride themselves in the fact that they are God's chosen people. We're Jews. I mean, we're special. And God loves us, and we're not near as bad as the reprobates, and we're not near as bad as those self-righteous people who don't have the law but think they're okay. We're not near as bad as them. They're chosen people. We're God's people here. And that is what religion can certainly do, even the right religion, even the right Bible, even the right preaching, even the old time way, even those things can cause pride if they are not received right in the heart of anybody. They can cause pride. And that's exactly what it did to the Jews. It caused them, instead of being blessed and humble before the Lord, it caused them to be filled with pride. And we see that in verses 19 through 24. Look at what he says in verse 19. He says, "And thou art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, and a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law." You know, I think it's interesting that he uses that term. He says, thou thyself art a guide of the blind. See, they're not looking to the Lord for help, obviously. They're not saying, Lord, if you will help us, we will guide the blind. Lord, if you will help us, we will be a blessing to these Gentiles. Lord, if you can help us, we'll do all these things. No, they're thinking, we're God's chosen people, and so I'm going to do it. You know, that's exactly what Samson did. I think about Samson a lot whenever I look at stuff like this, because Samson was so blessed by God and anointed by God and given this supernatural divine strength that nobody else had. And he was tremendously blessed and he was tremendously gifted. And no doubt Israel thought he was the man. Samson is the man. He's the guy that's going to get us back on top. And he's the guy that's going to, you know, really help us. And God's going to use. I mean, Samson is our hero. And in a lot of ways, he was a heroic type character. But whenever, as you go through Samson's life, you almost see the same pattern that you've seen in Israel, where God has gifted him and he's got what he's got only because of God. He didn't do it himself. He's only got it because the Spirit of God has come upon him. And yet, time after time after time, Samson thinks, I myself am going to go do it. I will go do it. I'm just going to do it. And God's Spirit is on him every time he needs. Every time he needs his strength, God's strength is there for him. And so over and over and over he goes and he doesn't honor the Lord and he doesn't do what he's supposed to. He's not obedient to the law. That's how the Jews were. They weren't obeying the law. They weren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. They had sin in their life. They were whited sepulchers on the outside and full of dead men's bones on the inside. I mean, if you were to look into their life and really look into the secret areas of their life, you would find every kind of debauchery imaginable. And by the way, that's every religion. That's every religious person. Listen. A religious person looks fixed up and dressed up on the outside. He wears his tie, suit and tie on the outside, and fixes his hair right, and knows the lingo, and carries the right Bible. But if somebody's only religious and doesn't have something real, only religious, but it's not real, I'll tell you, you don't have to look too far where you'll find all kinds of debauchery and sin and scandals and all. You will find all of those things, and that was Samson's life. He was disobedient and he didn't please the Lord and he didn't do what God told him to do. And when it was all said and done, he said, I will go out as I did before. I will shake myself. In other words, I'll do it the way I have always done it. He's not praying, oh God, help me. Lord, if you'll help me. Lord, if you'll be merciful to me again. If you'll show me grace one more time, I'll go fight the battle and win the battle again. No, he's thinking now, I'm just going to go do it because I've done it every time, so I'll go do it again this time. I tell you, nothing will blind like religion. Nothing will blind with pride like religion. Amen. I tell you, we've got enough of it, and we're blind enough where people are sinking, will sink deeper and deeper and deeper into religion because God's just been so good to us. And because so many have kind of dabbled in religion for so long, and they're not right with God, but they've got their religion, and they know it, and God hadn't dropped the hammer on them yet, and God seems to still be blessing them, and life still seems to be okay. They think, well, I'm all right. And I'll just keep on doing what I'm doing. I'll just keep on going. That's exactly what religion does. It's exactly what it did to these Jews. It caused pride. They thought they themselves were doing it. And that's what religion will do to you. Cause pride and cause you to think that you are doing it. So privilege, if not treated properly, will lead to pride as it did with the Israelites. Listen, your King James Bible, as much as I love the King James Bible, it will only harden you and fill you with pride if you don't approach it correctly. Preaching and the right kind of preaching and straight preaching will only fill you with pride and harden you and get you bad messed up if you don't approach it correctly. Brother Ernest has been preaching through Revelation, Revelation 2, Revelation 3, the seven churches of Asia Minor. All seven nations are Muslim nations now. Nothing. Religion has a hardening effect. Spiritual things, the light of the gospel, has a hardening effect on us if we don't approach it and receive it correctly. That's it. That's it. All seven nations are now Muslim nations, where at one time there was a church there, but now they've been turned over to those things. And so they will bring pride. So that's what we're looking at, the pride in their religion. First of all, we notice the confidence in pride in verse 19. Again, he said, "Thou art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes." See, in pride, they thought they could teach the heathen. He said, "Thou thyself, you think you can teach their heathen." When really, the whole time, they were vastly overestimating their skills. They were vastly overestimating themselves. That's what pride will cause you to do. It'll cause you to overestimate yourself. It'll cause you to overestimate your power over the flesh. It'll cause you to overestimate your ability in spiritual things and things you do for God. It'll cause you to overestimate yourself, to think you are more than what you are. I read a long time ago, I don't even remember where I was when I read this, but I remember reading this little article, this little thing where they did this study on the youth of America versus the youth of other countries. And the youth of America at this time, this has been many years ago now, but I think it's maybe the early or mid-2000s, the youth of America wasn't number one in hardly any category, like in education and all those things. I'm talking about worldwide. They were not number one in hardly any category but one, and that was confidence. Confidence. They believed they were the best. They may have not been the best, but they believed they were. They believe. See, that is what religion and national, that is what it causes you to overestimate yourself. And let me just tell you, in spiritual things, we're not the best. We're not leading in anything. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We're not number one. We're not even close to the top. Amen? We are way down at the bottom. And so being spiritual will cause you to see that, but being religious will cause you to be blind to that. There's a difference in being spiritual and being religious. Amen. Being religious will cause you to overestimate. That's it. They didn't obey. They had it. And just because God gave it to them, they thought, well, we're so blessed and God's favored us and He's given us the law. And so we're God's chosen people. So we're all right and we're above everybody else. But knowing the law, being given the law, is vastly different from doing the law. And the same would apply to us or anybody here, that God has given you the law, given me the law. He wrote the Jews' law on a table of stone, but He's written our law in the New Testament on the pages of the King James Bible. And it's not to the Jews, it's to the church. Amen? It's to us. It's for us right here, right now. And it's vastly different to just know the law than it is to do the law. It's vastly different just to hear the law than it is to do the law. It's a lot different. I'm telling you, if all you have is religion, you will overestimate yourself and underestimate your need. That's exactly what these Jews did. See, Jesus told the religious leaders of His day, He said they were blind leaders of the blind. They said they'd both fall in the ditch in Matthew 15. He said, "You are blind and you're trying to lead the blind. And because the blind's leading the blind, you're both going to wind up messed up." Amen. But they had so much confidence in their religion. So we see the confidence in their pride. Then the second thing we see here is the challenge for their pride. Look in verse 21. He challenges their pride here. He says in verse 21, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege?" Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? He's asking these questions to them, challenging their pride, telling them, you're supposedly against the laws, against all these things, but are you doing these things? Can these things be found in your life, in your heart? Kind of goes back to verse number 1 of the same chapter where he talks about that moral man. He says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever that art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. Boy, these Jews here would so sanctimoniously look down their nose at the Gentiles. Matter of fact, God later on, he gives them that whole thing dealing with circumcision. And they so held on to circumcision. They were so obsessed with circumcision that they would so pridefully refer to the rest of the world as the uncircumcised. Those uncircumcised Philistines, right? They don't have what we have. They don't have everything right like we've got. Basically, what it boils down to is that the pride from the privilege they had. They'd been so privileged, and that pride that came from that privilege led to hypocrisy in their life. Led to hypocrisy. I think hypocrisy is probably a worse problem today than what we realize a lot of times. I don't just think it is. I know it is. Hypocrisy is a really, really terrible problem. Now, I know that's used as an excuse by a lot of people on why not to go to church. I say that. Maybe it used to be. I don't really hear that excuse anymore, but it used to be people say, oh, I'm not going down to church. There's too many hypocrites down there. Oliver B. Green said, you may not go to church with the hypocrites, but you go to hell with them because, if that's where you wind up, that's where the hypocrite's going to wind up too. Amen, isn't it right? And a hypocrite and hypocrisy has never been an excuse for somebody to not serve God and live for God. Just because somebody across the aisle isn't right and isn't serving God, that doesn't give anybody an excuse not to. We'll not be able to use somebody else's hypocrisy as an excuse whenever we stand before God at the judgment. Oh God, well I would have lived for you, but oh so-and-so, they were a hypocrite. God's going to say, He's going to say the same thing He said to Peter whenever Peter looked up at the end of John, the Gospel of John, and talked about, John following Christ and was asking about him. And the Lord said, what is that to you? Do what you're supposed to do. Yeah, that's right. Don't worry about him. You worry about you. Amen. That's what's going to matter at the judgment. It's going to matter about you. You worry about you. Yeah, I think every young preacher is probably this way. Be more than you can handle your whole life. Amen. And I think we'd all do well to maybe take that mentality that I'm just going to worry about me. And I'm going to worry about making sure I'm right, making sure I'm doing what God wants to do, and let everybody else do what they're going to do. Because at the end of the day, people are going to do what they're going to do. I'll tell you something, I'm not going to lay in my deathbed with a belly full of ulcers when this is all said and done because I couldn't get a lot of church people to live right. Amen. I'm not going to shoulder that burden. I'm not going to shoulder the burden that I spend your whole ministry trying to get people to live right and do right and be faithful and all those things, and you just can't get it, and you worry and you pray and you beg and you plead with God and all those things, and when it's all said and done, you've got ulcers and all kinds of health problems because you couldn't get somebody else to do right. Listen, I can't make any of you do right. By the way, you can't make me do right either. We can't make each other do right. Listen, if it's not in our hearts, none of us will do right. If all we have is religion, none of us will wind up right. Because religion will always lead to the exact same thing that it led to in these Jews he's talking to. Pride. And what he does is he begins to challenge his pride and expose the hypocrisy of it. Now, these are all rhetorical questions that he's asking them, but these rhetorical questions are indicting these proud Jews of hypocrisy. And that's the question for anybody who has religion is, as I look at the rest of the world and see what all they're doing, well, yeah, maybe what they're doing is bad. Maybe it is against God, but what's really in my life? What could I really do better for the Lord? Isn't that right? I mean, you look in Matthew 23, there's at least a dozen indictments regarding hypocrisy in Matthew 23 that the Lord gives all the Jews, those Jewish leaders there, because that's what they had. They were hypocrites. They had pride. So we see the confidence in pride. And then there's the challenge for their pride. He's asking these questions. We see the corruption from their pride. Look in verse number 23. He says, "Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." Now, misusing the privilege that God had given them, what wound up happening, what it did was it made them a poor testimony before the heathen world. That's exactly right. The whole time, in their minds, they were going to teach these uncircumcised heathens who were so And they could not see the beam in their eye, but they saw the mote in everybody else's eyes. And the whole time in their mind, they're going to help everybody. They're going to help. When really the whole time, because of their religious pride, they were actually having no testimony. They were a big fat joke to all the heathen nations. The ones that in their mind they were trying to help, they weren't helping at all. They destroyed their testimony with them. See, they profaned God and blasphemed Him because of their pride. And those other nations saw that. They see that. The world sees straight through a lot of false religion. I mean, if they look and be honest, I know people get all caught up in it and stuff like that, but somebody who's being honest and being sincere and looking at just false religion in general, it's a big joke to them. It's a big joke. The problem is they lump in true religion with all of it. By the way, that's the devil's plan. He lumps all of us in with it because the world, they look at that stuff and they think it's a big joke. Whenever they see Kenneth Copeland on TV and speaking away the coronavirus when it first starts, you know. Y'all remember that? That guy's an idiot, man. I don't use that word from the pulpit much, but I mean, let's just call it like it is. The guy's an idiot. He's a big goofball. I think he's full of the devil. I think he's demon-possessed. Good grief. You look at that, look into that guy's eyes, that guy's full of the devil, man. And he has deceived thousands of people. Thousands of people are swayed and deceived. But you know, the average person in the world, they look at that and they say, there is nothing to that, man. It's a big joke. And it is a big joke. But what happens is people take religion, wrap it all, that's it, put it all into one big pile. And because there's a lot of people that only have religion, they don't have anything real, they only have religion. They blaspheme God. And that's religion in general, but you know, the same is true on an individual basis as well. I think there comes a time where the world and the people actually see through your false religion, if that's all you've got. People see through it. I mean, it's like, Jesus, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. Comes a time where the heart is born before the world. People see it. See it in people's lives because it's going to come out. And it happens every single time. It makes the things of God a big joke to the world. And say one thing and then go out there and live something totally different out there before the world, it puts a big black eye on the work of God. Doesn't matter what we preach. Doesn't matter what we stand for. None of that matters. If it doesn't hold up in our daily life and our lifestyle out there before the world, it gives the heathen world a reason to blaspheme, an occasion to blaspheme. And it makes everything else that goes on a big joke to them. That profanes God. Now you would think, as you look at these Jews, you would think that with all the blessings that God gave to them, God's chosen people, the law and all those things, you would think it would be easy for them to receive Christ. But it's a little different from their perspective. They'd be denying everything their mom and their dad ever lived for and did, and their grandparents and their whole nation. They'd be denying all of it. That'd be totally denied by their nation. But you know, it's real easy for us to say, well, man, they've been so blessed. Why don't they just receive Christ? Why don't they just live for God, live for Jesus, accept Jesus? I mean, it's easy to say that, but yet we've got so many people on the New Testament side of things in the church grace age that really live in the same life. Living the same life. Using religion, using the things of God for how they can be blessed. What they can get out of it. And if you look at the Jews now, you fast forward 2021, me and Brother Ernest talking about this earlier. You look now and they're at that wailing wall, bobbing back and forth and doing all those rituals and all that praying, all that wailing they do and all those things that they're doing now. And little, if any of it, can even be found in the Bible. Little, if any of it, can even be found in the Word of God. And the truth is, there's a lot of people in the church where there's a lot of things being done that little, if any of it, can even be found in the Word of God. Because that is exactly what religion does. So you say, Brother Jacob, boy, this don't really seem to tie in very much to Christmas party night and Christmas season. Well, I think it does in a lot of ways. And I say, this is the reason why, because Jesus did come. And He did bless us. And He has blessed us. And He has been good to us. And more than all the physical blessings that we see as we look around. I mean, physical blessings ought to drive us to serve Him more. But more than all those things, we have the spiritual blessings. And it's all because of Christ. It's all because He came, He was born of a virgin, lived the life that He lived, died on the cross, ascended back to heaven, is coming back for this. All because of all those things that He did, that we are tremendously blessed. We're greatly privileged. And with that being said, why would any of us only stop with religion? Why would anybody just stop with just empty religion? Why would anybody put all their hope and their faith in their religious activity and not in Christ and not live for Him? Because He's been so good to us. Because He was born and lived and died for us. I want to say thank the Lord for all that He's done for us. And I would to God that we would never take the blessings of the Lord, especially all that Christ has done, and it become a burden to us. Get us all wrapped up in religion. Get somebody wrapped up. I'd hate for somebody to die, in our church, to die lost without God and go to hell, only having religion. And I'd hate for any of us who are saved to get just wrapped up in the mechanics of things and the going through the motions and not really loving the Lord like we should because He's just been too good to us. He's privileged us too much. So what about tonight? This morning we looked at part of the religion. Tonight we looked at the privilege of all the religion. Now tonight we look at all the pride of religion. I wonder about you. Is all your hope in religion, or have you really got something real tonight? Let's pray. Father, come before Your throne of grace, and I thank You for helping us with the message. I pray that You'll take it and use it. I pray, Lord, that You'll bless now as we come to the end of the service. Lord, I pray that if there be somebody here who's only has their hope wrapped up in their religion, Lord, I pray that You'd bring them to the end of their self. Lord, they'd get right with You. Pray they'd get saved if they need to. Lord, I just pray that Your will would be done. You'd speak to our hearts, do that work within us that only You can do. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.